Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Sherry Boone with Jamie Tenzer on December 10th, 2013, with Real Coaching Sessions Unplugged. Today, we are honored to have Mark Steinberg, MCC, as our guest coach. Please do read Mark's complete bio and see his contact info at realcoachingsessionsunplugged.com. You can read about all of the coaches coming up next year as well. Well, not all of the coaches are listed yet for next year on that site, but you'll see some of them at that on that page. So here's the outline of our call today. Mark will coach his client for about 25 minutes. Then we will interview Mark for about 10 minutes. Then we'll open the line for all of you to ask questions. And then about 5 minutes before the hour, we'll make a couple of announcements and close the call. So, Mark, thank you and your clients so much for joining us today.
It's an absolute pleasure and privilege to be on that call. So, welcome everyone, and thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Everybody else, we really now invite you to sit back and listen in to this real coaching session. Mark, when you're ready, please begin your coaching.
Thank you. Olga?
Yes?
Yeah. There you are. Okay. Good evening to you.
And good evening to you too.
Yeah. So it's a great honor for me to be your coach tonight. And yeah, just share with me what the subject of the coaching is, what you would like to be coached on.
Thank you, Mark. And so I would like to be coached around my relationship with my sister currently.
Mm-hmm. What's your sister's name, if I may ask?
Yes, her name is Sonia.
Sonia, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what about there to be coached? I mean, what is it in the relationship you would like to focus on being coached at?
Mm-hmm. So overall, there are two things. We are not very close, and I would like... at this point to find a way how I can actually support her at where she is right now. And the second would be, so she's 18, so she's still a teenager, and sometimes she goes into this like very reactive behavior when she's like really rude or something, and I totally get lost and I can... Well, it just influences me so much, so I don't know how to shift from there, and I can be influenced by it like for a couple of days after that. So that's something I would like to shift as well.
Okay. So can you just focus a little bit on saying it in a nutshell? What is it you want to shift with regard to the last part where you react to your sister's being rude? If I have understood that correctly, just help me to really get the picture here.
Yeah. Would an example help, or shall I just sum it up in a nutshell?
As you like, whatever works for you.
Okay, so let's say what we had last weekend or so. Me and my mom went out for dinner, not a dinner, like a lunch, and we asked my sister to join. And she came, and then just something made her so mad that we ordered before she came that she was, like, mad the whole lunch, so she was not really talking to us. And that also made both of us uncomfortable, so we couldn't enjoy the lunch. So around this, I would like to find out what is the best way for me to deal with situations like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does it make sense now?
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was, as I remember correctly, and tell me if it's right, to be close to Sonia, and you were asking yourself an already opening how that could be established by how to support her. But what's more important for you to focus on, to how to support her or to be close to her or both?
More about supporting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Which of the two shall we focus on first?
I would like to focus on supporting first.
Okay. Well, it's your sister, and mm-hmm. I'm sure that supporting her is not a brand new idea.
Okay, yes.
All right. So,
not, yeah, okay. Not that
no,
old.
What is it you wanted to say?
I wanted to say that it's not very, well, it's not so long ago that I realized that I do need to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I suspect that, I assume that you already have given that some thought, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what would be a good starting point now for me coaching you in that? Do you want to find clarity on how to support her? Do you want to explore options? How shall we go about it?
Mm-hmm. I would like to start with exploring options, actually.
Okay. Well, then let's jump right into it.
Mm-hmm.
What are the options? What options do you see you have that matches whatever you define as supporting her? What is there mm-hmm. available to you?
So what I see is that I could spend more time with her, like just me and her, not in the whole family. And what I also see is I could probably offer her some help with her studies, but normally she doesn't like really need or accept that. And like the issue I have around here is that sometimes when we are together, sometimes she would open up.
Olga, can you just pause for a moment? I do have a very, very bad line, not from my side, but hearing you. You're breaking up a little bit. Is
okay.
there anything you can do from your side to come closer to the microphone, or?
Well, right now I'm very, very close. Is this better?
Okay. It is a line, so let's hope it doesn't get worse, because I need to hear what you are saying. Okay, can you just repeat the last bit of what you were sharing?
Mm-hmm. So what I was sharing is when we would go out, sometimes she would open up and share, and sometimes she would just be quite closed, and I don't really know how to know what kind of support she needs and what I can do around that. Although when just saying this out loud, what I see is that the best thing here is just for me to be there and let it happen as it happens, just more naturally. Yeah, and just see what comes up. And probably what I could also do from my side is shift the relationship I have to her in my head. So I still see her like as a little girl, and put myself kind of in a position of superior or something. And I see that's not a very good basis for a relationship. So, yeah, what I see is that I do need to shift this relationship.
Oh, wow, that's powerful. Now, let's pause here for a moment, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's significant, the insight you are just sharing, that your attitude, the way you perceive your sister
mm-hmm.
might not be that what would deserve the definition of supporting. You see, you said you're seeing her like the little sister.
mm-hmm.
And to consider that and to be aware of that in yourself is extraordinary.
Well, thank you. And now that you bring it up, I guess I'm more aware of it than when I was saying that out loud. Yeah. Now I really see that's not a basis for support.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So, What would be by your own choice a perception that would honor the intention what you have to be of support to Sonia? What kind of perception would support that?
So what I see is that I could see her as an, as I relate to, like, my friends, like a, more of a grown-up who can make her own decisions and see things for herself. And so what I'm struggling with here, yeah, so that would help. But what I'm struggling with here is... So I couldn't really see in her so far, like, let's say when I'm asking her, like, okay, so what is it that, like, what is the university you want to go to, or what is it that you want to choose or something? I cannot see in her this power yet to choose. So from there, I relate to her as, as a little one who doesn't know.
Yeah.
And I don't quite know how to overcome it.
Okay. So how do you overcome it?
Yeah, so what I see is that I basically should allow her to make her own choices and, yeah, to live her life. It's like as if I'm taking the responsibility over her life, like she should choose that or something, like, and if I were just there for her to see what she wants, and maybe she even makes a choice that does not, well, like, in a way that I would see that does not serve her, mm-hmm. It's not the best, probably I'm not the person to be responsible for that. Yeah. And
yeah.
On the other hand, how does that go with the definition of support? And with that, I could just share probably what I see.
Yeah.
And not make her do something. Okay.
What just came up for me was I just was thinking, how would it be for Sonia if you would be in a genuine state of appreciation without pulling in any direction, without expecting Sonia to be any different, any particular way, just to be in a state of appreciation? That's what came up for me when you were just sharing. I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Yeah, I see that I kind of want her to be some way and, you know, do not appreciate what there is. Oh, okay.
Do you have a reference experience by yourself that someone in your life that mm-hmm. is in the appreciation of who you are without wanting you to be any different? How that mm-hmm. feels in contrast to someone in your life that expects things from you, would like you to be different? Can you see and recall that in your mind, to see the difference of experience, what you have when those two different perceptions are compared to each other?
Let me have a moment and look for
sure.
For those experiences. Yeah. Got it.
Okay, what did you get?
Well, I was just looking for experience of genuine appreciation, and I got a reference point now.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just present to the fact that there are not so many in my life.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and Sam. Okay.
Okay, so what have we accomplished with regard to that? Can you just take a look and see what, is there anything you already can take away from it?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I see is that I can and will shift the relationship in my head to my sister, not as in like a child and a grown-up, but more of an equal way. That's one thing. And the second one is that, actually the second one is that I'm not the one responsible for her choices. And the third one is around what we just had. So, yeah, the experience of genuine appreciation. I do not have much experience in providing that kind of a space for a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I would start doing. And I would start doing it to myself as well.
That is a good idea. That's a very good idea, to start with genuine appreciation with yourself. Wonderful.
Yes, thank you, Mark.
May I ask if your soul is smiling?
Oh, big time.
I can feel it over the many, many thousands of kilometers right here. Wonderful. Okay, Olga, you also mentioned the second objective around how mm-hmm. to be with her rudeness, or just tell me again, what was it exactly? You mentioned the example that you went with mom for lunch and then your sister came and that was occupied, just so that we get into the flow with that subject.
We went out for lunch with my mom, and my sister was in town, so we asked her if she wants to join, and she did. She was quite excited about that. And then when she came, we ordered before she came. So when she saw that, she got so pissed that she wouldn't, like, really even talk to us the whole lunch. So, like, how are you? Okay. And, like, that would be the whole reply she would get.
Olga, I'm very sorry to interrupt you again. I need you to repeat the last 30 seconds. It was breaking up so badly that I really could not really understand what you were saying.
Okay, and I'm putting the mic close to my mouth, so I hope you hear me better.
I think it's the line, not your mic.
Okay.
So let's just try it. Hopefully we get through the whole coaching session without technical breakdown here.
Okay, so when she came down, she was we already ordered, and she was so pissed with us that she wouldn't, like, she was like, oh. And so when we would talk to her, she, like, how are you? She would be like, I'm okay. And that would be the whole answer. So she would, like, totally cut us off and make us both feel, like, kind of guilty and uncomfortable, so we couldn't really talk to her. And we couldn't really, like, be ourselves between ourselves. So we both felt uncomfortable, and, the whole lunch went wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what would you like to accomplish with regard to a situation like that?
I guess I would like to find out some kind of way to, well, either feel better or not feel so suppressed or something.
Mm-hmm.
So what I see is that probably it cannot shift to, like, a perfect family dinner. But I would like just to see what I can do myself in this situation.
Yeah. Okay. So what opens up for you out of asking mm-hmm. yourself, what can I do in a situation like that, or what can I be in a situation like that? Or also mm-hmm. maybe a question like, what is it that I would need to drop in order to be not so impacted by somebody else's state or by the state of Sonia?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, I would need to drop the attachment to her behaving in a certain way.
Very good.
That for sure, yeah. What I also see what I could do, I could just express how I feel and genuinely share that I would like to have a better better experience of communication, and just share it with her from an honest place, and then allow her to make a choice or maybe ask what she needs for that. So even if I'm not attached to her being in a certain way, I'm wondering if I, what I need to be, to be reacting more freely, or to still enjoy the talk with my mom, even if she doesn't want to, even if she doesn't want to communicate or something.
Hmm. I wonder if you could go back in time to that lunch and mm-hmm. just hypothetically imagining that you dropped all that, what you just mentioned. What would your relationship to your sister be in that, at that lunch, having mm-hmm. dropped all that? If you could go back in time.
Mm-hmm. I would just feel like, okay, so she's a person, she's having this, okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the relationship to my sister would be like that.
See, and maybe if Sonia doesn't have an audience anymore, somebody who is, you know, then maybe things shift very magically by themselves.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I could see that.
So is that something you feel you would like to take on as a commitment with regard to your relationship to your sister, or your relationship to anybody in a state like that?
Yeah. So I can see it could be hard for me to follow it on the first,
mm.
at first. Mm. And as a commitment, that's quite a good one. Yeah. I would like to take that one.
Okay. And when you say it could be hard, I'm just curious. What would it make hard?
It's my overall pattern. I'm very sensitive to how people feel, and I pick up their state and behave in a certain way, influenced by that. So that's what I usually do, and maybe I wouldn't even recognize it, or yeah. I just don't know. I don't quite see me doing it like that easily.
Mm.
Like, I don't really have a reference point.
Okay, got it. Yeah. And is it correct when I sense that it's not about putting up a wall and being not impacted by another's state or by Sonia's state, but rather being not attached to that it should be in a particular way?
It's about being not attached. And so what I'm sitting with here right now is, so even if I'm not attached to her being in a particular way, I don't quite feel the freedom to act like I would act if she would feel okay.
Yeah. And if I look into my own experience with people and their different states they are in, I personally see there is always a difference in somebody's state and who I am. So I believe when we open, we are impacting each other, and it's not the same always.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Olga, do you feel that we have accomplished with regard to the second one here that what you intentionally stated when you said, okay, that's also what you would like to take away from the coaching?
Let me again see what we have here. Yeah. I think that's something I would do, and I will see how that will shift. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great.
Wow.
Is there anything left that I can be of service of today for you?
Let me just look if I'm complete.
Okay. Okay. Olga, I just want to, before we officially close the session, I just want to share that I'm really profoundly touched by your ability and willingness to change yourself in the service of another, for your sister. So not to focus on how to change her. And this is really profoundly touching me. So thank you for having allowed me to be part of that process. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. And I'm sitting here with a very deep gratitude. I'm present to how the relationship can shift if I shift myself. So I'm very grateful to you. Thank you for... Thank you for coaching me. I'm actually kind of close to tears now. Thank you.
I'm with you. Good. Okay, thank you. Sherry, over back to you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you very, very much, and thank you to your client as well. All right, very nicely done. Great session. So, Mark, Jamie and I are going to ask you a few questions about this session, if we may.
Absolutely.
And, okay, and so I think in general, before we get to some of the specifics and talking, you know, more specifically about some of the core competencies, I would like to ask you, what was the session really like for you today? What would you say about your coaching during this session?
The very special quality Olga brought in by having almost no resistance to take a good look at her own perception and the impact that has,
mm-hmm.
made it beautifully flow. And I believe that allowed particular deeper levels of the emotional body to also come to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I experienced a great bandwidth of movements in the coaching sessions, not only, of course, the words, but also from the emotional body. And even the spiritual body, if I may use that phrase, mm-hmm. what I define as the smiling of the soul, does your soul smile, is one of my favorite questions.
Mm-hmm.
So even that was present. So it's not always that all the bodies are present for me in my perception experience in a coaching session, and today it was. So mm-hmm. that's a wonderful experience for me. So yeah, I'm in great appreciation.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you answer that, and as I hear you talking about that, Mark, what occurs to me that, you know, there are many competencies in what you just said. First of all, the trust and intimacy that you have built with this client was very apparent, and you've just spoken some about it, but was also very clear and apparent as I was listening to your coaching. So clearly you have a great connection and a relationship with this client. But also I'm hearing you talk about following your own instincts and your own intuition. So, you know, really speaking about what was going on for you in your coaching presence and also in the how you were listening at that really deep level to your client today. Would you agree with that?
Yes, yes. I think that's one of the very important ingredients for good coaching to have a natural ability and a sense how to create that rapport. Without that rapport, coaching becomes a technical affair, and that's not what I'm in for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Good. I'm not either.
I know.
Yeah, I think that is very important for good coaching. Absolutely. I agree with you. Good. So I noticed I wanted to ask you a question, then I want to give Jamie a chance to ask to talk with you too. So I wanted to ask you, talk a little bit about, I noticed at the beginning how much time you spent clarifying and defining exactly what your client wanted to get out of the session. I think you did that so well. You know, you asked her not only what is it you want to focus on, but you had her really define that. And then you continued to drill down to really get to the essence of what she wanted to do. And you were willing to take that time at the beginning of the session, Mark, to do that. Can you talk a little bit about that and why that's important for you in coaching?
Yeah. I call it context creation.
Uh-huh.
And the context, when a client is having clarity, real clarity, not only in the mind, with regard to what exactly it is they are desiring to accomplish, to create, in my words, then the flow of the session usually is very natural and mm-hmm. always on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't go then into left and right and up and down and all kind of things. And what I observe, you know, I'm having a academy and train coaches, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
Is that if that is not done real accurately and complete, then there's a lot of room for interpretation on the part of the coach and assumptions.
Yes.
And that can lead into all kind of worlds that unconsciously maybe from the coach have been opened, but are not that what comes from the client.
Yes.
So I want to be so clear with regard to what is it my client is asking for. If I'm sitting in a taxi and I'm the driver, my passenger needs to tell me it's number 12 and not number 14. Yeah, so I want to bring him to the destination he is signing up and paying me for. And for that, I need to be 100% clear. And I have trained myself to drop all interpretations and all assumptions and all the rest of it. And that leaves me with the need for clarification from the client what it is we are actually in for in today's session.
Right. Yeah. Wow, beautiful. Beautifully stated. Yeah. Very nice. Thank you.
Mm.
Jamie, do you have a question for Mark?
Yeah, I have. I do have a question, and I wanted to share that one of my favorite parts of the session was when your client said, "I don't know how to overcome it," and then you were quiet for a minute, and then you said to her, "Okay, so how do you overcome it?" And she gave the answer. And I just thought that was such a classic example of a few things. One, as coaches, our absolute trust that our client does know, and that in that moment when she said she didn't know, it's almost like you didn't believe that thought that she was expressing in that moment. You knew there was something else behind it. So
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so I just wondered, you know, what was going on in your mind? Was that just intuitive, or was there a thought process there in that moment for you?
It wasn't a thought process. It was the clarity I have, backed up by more than 25 years of being in service of people's greatness and supporting, empowering them. It's a real clarity that the knowledge for the breakthrough, whatever it is in the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I need to think about. It's just clear. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. And the client is picking that up. The client feels, maybe not on a conscious level, that I know that they know. And that supports them tremendously in tapping into that knowing that usually gets blocked by all kinds of psychological stuff. That's part of why coaching can be very, very supportive. If the coach is having that perception, which is not a made-up thought perception, it's just a knowing. I know that she knows. I know that my client knows. It's a fact. It's a presence. It's just there in the space, and my clients always tap into that, accessing that knowing.
Mm-hmm. So it's two. What I hear is that it's two different pieces. It's your clarity, and then through that clarity, the client gets that through your presence and through the energy that
yes.
comes with that clarity.
Exactly, and that clarity allows me to be silent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not shut up my mouth, just really be empty, be present, be there, knowing that my client knows, and observing that process of silence. And this is why I'm so excited about coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be for the rest of my life, because this is the most extraordinary thing to be part of, to look at, to witness, to be there, you know, to see how that unfolds. Out of the silence and the knowing comes a new knowing. That's fascinating for me.
Yeah, it was brilliant to listen to. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sherry, do you have something, another question?
Yeah, thanks, Jamie. You know, I think I'd just like to follow up on that one thought. I love what you're saying, Mark, about so you're being, you know, you're so solid that you know that your client knows. And that's the foundation. That's what I hear you saying. That's where you start from, right?
Yes.
And I love hearing that, and you definitely demonstrated that so beautifully. I also noticed, and something I want to ask you about, and I'd love to know your ideas here and your perspective. I noticed a couple of times that you did share something with your client about, you know, your beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you did a beautiful dance, I think, with it. But would you just talk a little bit about when is that? You know, when do you bring that in? When is it okay, you know, as a coach to say to the client, well, I really believe such and such. Would you,
yes.
Would you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah. The first and most important thing is that the coach is clear that this is just a sharing,
yeah,
and having absolutely no agenda behind it, as in putting it in the space, and if it has an impact, fine. If it doesn't have an impact, fine.
Mm-hmm.
That is very important. Otherwise, it's a very subtle way of leading or guiding the client's process, which is mm-hmm. not that what it should be.
Yeah.
So intuitively, I have to say, picking it up and bringing it into the space with no attachment to the result, that's what I do. It's
mm-hmm.
a tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great distinction. Thank you. Okay, good. Mark, I know that we have a lot of people on the line here, and I'm sure that there are people that are wanting to ask you a question or make an acknowledgement or a comment. So we're going to open up the lines now to everyone. And what we want you to think about and to ask Mark, what are you curious about? What would you love to ask Mark about this coaching session? If you would please say your first name. If you do have a comment or a question or an acknowledgement from Mark, go ahead and just press star 6 now. Go ahead and press star 6 and then
Hello.
Just say your first name.
John.
And go right ahead.
This is John.
Yes, John, go ahead.
I really liked when Mark asked Olga, can you, when Olga was saying she wanted to be supportive to her sister, and Mark said, can you think of a time or person who has supported you?
Mm.
And I thought that was very good because it would help her to see how that was modeled and also maybe give her a little empathy. And, you know, so what I was wondering is, you know, I'd be interested to ask Olga, if you ever gone out to lunch, been invited to go out to lunch with someone, and when you got there, they already had ordered for you. How did you feel? It was just interesting when you think about the empathy aspect. That's it.
Okay, thank you, John. All right.
Thank you.
Who else has a question for Mark? Again, you can just press star 6.
Mark, hi, it's Elspeth. How are you?
Elspeth, hi, good to
yes.
hear your voice. Yes.
So I just want to acknowledge you and your coaching and being with Olga throughout the coaching, being with her, you know, every step. What I'm really curious about is, from the perspective of you coaching, what was your biggest challenge during the coaching, beyond the technical problem, the obvious technical problem, what was your personal biggest challenge in this coaching session?
Thank you for the question. I'm looking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, with a risk to coming across maybe a little bit vain, but I have not experienced a challenge. And I'm also not looking for challenges. I'm also not avoiding it. If there is a challenge, there is a challenge. If a client gets seriously stuck or locked into a mind pattern that the client is not willing to face or to let go of, et cetera, okay, that would be something like a challenge. But in this session, Elspeth, I did not experience a challenge. I just experienced a beautiful flow, as I already stated, and the possibility for the space to unfold because of Olga's openness and willingness to look.
Okay, thank you. I guess what made me really curious, because I know you're a very experienced coach, and I've also, you know, I've had many years behind me also. Where do we look? Where would you say, to experienced coaches, where do we look for our next growth? So where? It's just like to keep everything. I know you're so. You know, I know you're very passionate about coaching. I know that you're very solid in your coaching, and it's like, where do we look to? And whether we call it challenge or what, maybe it's just growth.
Okay, I believe that it's. It's not a question with a plural. I think it's very, very personal, as Beth. If you ask me personally, Mark, what would be your next level? What is it? Then I can deal with it. I cannot deal with it on a plural level because I don't see that this is generic. So that out of the way, looking at for me now. See, the space of nothingness, of silence, of knowing without needing to have any thought process backing it up and all the rest of it, that in itself, there is no further destination for me. And there is also no need for any other level. In that nothing, pure presence, that's it. I mean, that's all I can say.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Elspeth.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Jamie. Hi, Carrie.
Oh, I'm hearing a couple of people wanting to come forward. So who's the person that said, hi, Jamie, hi, Sherry, and then the other person will be second? Who's that person?
No, I was just finishing off. It's Elspeth. I just want to acknowledge the two of you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Elspeth. Okay.
Thank you.
Who had the next question?
Chris from Cape Town.
Yes.
So, hi, Mark. And,
hi,
thank
Chris.
You, guys. Just to acknowledge you. It's a great platform, great idea just to get insights on some masters of coaching. And so I found it really insightful. And I just have two questions, possibly more of a technical level, being having trained as a consciousness coach. The first one being one of the golden rules of consciousness coaching being the 90% questioning, 10% talking. And just in the session, I experienced quite a bit of I think it came up in a question already, quite a bit of sharing and relating and agreeing and sharing experiences and opinion, which sometimes I give myself less permission to do so. Because I'm trying to be more questioning and more, and I love it for the rapport building and just the connection. Can you comment on that? And just specifically speaking to that 90-10 rule?
Yeah, sure, Chris. And the 90-10 rule is established for the beginning of the development of coaching competences, simply to rule out that coaches who are starting are going into talking, that's where we're all coming from usually, and more listening, more being present and all the rest of it. As you grow your own competences, and if you come to what's considered as master level, then there's a carte blanche. You then do whatever there is to be done. And the rules of the beginning of the training as a coach, they do not form a dogma or something to stick to. And I do absolutely support the rule in the beginning of the coach training. Absolutely.
Got you. Thank you.
It's a great way to exercise that muscle. This is Sherry. That's what I'm hearing you say, Mark, right? In the beginning, we want to make sure that we really get that, right?
Yeah.
How to hold that space and let the client do most of the talking, all of those things, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. People yeah. are so mm-hmm. eager to offer their wealth of knowledge.
Yes.
And then it's not coaching anymore.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We have to learn a new muscle usually when we begin
yes.
coaching. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is Anta speaking.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question.
Sure.
Mark, I would like to acknowledge you. I still feel the space you created. It's really very powerful. Thank you for that. I was wondering, you were talking about the carte blanche, and it made me wonder, do you always share the intuition that pops up for you in your coaching session?
No. Mm-hmm. No, it only comes up at times. And I would say rather less than more. So that's not my typical coaching style.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, I'm not fixed on any format when I am present to my client.
Mm-hmm.
So I let myself be used by the movement of the coaching session, by the client's clarity with regard to what they have appointed me to coach them on, and then I let completely go of anything that is supposed to be there, and afterwards I can then analyze my session. Yes. Okay. So, answer to your question, it's not typical my style, and if it is coming into the space, I allow it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you, everyone, for your questions. Jamie, would you like to take us into the next part?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mark, and thank you. What terrific questions. So I'd just like to invite those of you who are on the call to take a minute and think for yourself, you know, what is a core competency that that you're working on that you'd like to learn more about or strengthen in yourself? And we'd love to have a few people share. Remember, you have to press star 6 to share. And you're also welcome to share any takeaways from today's call.
Sherry, this is Peter Redding.
Yeah. Hi, Peter.
Yeah, how you doing? Great job and great coaching, Mark. Thank you. The thing that
Thank
got
you.
Reinforced for me today is the absolute categorical mindset that the client is their innate, resourceful, most resourceful place to go to find the answers for themselves. And I'm inspired by that. And Mark, you did a great job at modeling that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Thank you, Peter. Good. One more person. A takeaway or a share from today's call.
This is Elspeth, and I think my takeaway, too, is and the reinforcement of having the client come on a call and really, like both for client and coach, to be really clear as to what the particular agenda is for this session and what they want to walk away with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Thank you, Elspeth. Okay, good. Thank you, everyone. We're going to close up the call, but I'd really like to thank you again, Mark, for your masterful coaching and for this terrific Q&A afterwards. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Jamie, and everyone who was on the call. Also, co-creating the space for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our pleasure. So next month, we are going to be kicking off 2014 with a session featuring Alan Seal.
The call will be on January 21st at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, U.S. Eastern Time, and we hope you will join us. So now we're going to stop the recording, and I'm going to give the final code word for those of you who are interested in receiving the CCEU.